Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Alright, and welcome to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network, and as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia, and I'm here to ruffle some feathers today. Manu Ginobili retired. How good was he actually? We'll talk about that for the first segment. Second segment, we're going to be talking about Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward being back ready full go for the Celtics come training camp. According to Danny Ainge, that's what he said. Third segment, we will be talking a bit about the fan who sold his fandom. All right, was a Knicks fan at first, eventually got tired of their stuff, and sold his fandom, is now a Lakers fan. And someone actually gave him money for that, which is absolutely ridiculous. But, I mean, if you got money like that, then you got money like that. And then for the fourth segment, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So that's how today's show is going to go. Let's just get into it. Manu Ginobili, retired, future Hall of Famer, yes, four-time champ, but I'm just going to go out and say it. I think the media and everyone else overrated Manu a bit. And I've had this conversation with a buddy of mine. He says I'm crazy. I might just be. But if you look at it, I mean, I think Manu Ginobili was a very, very good role player. And people are saying, oh, how can you say Manu was a role player? Well, the guy came off the bench most of his career. That's what a role player does. Manu Ginobili was important to these championship teams. We're not saying he wasn't. Robert Horry was important to those Rockets championships back in the mid-90s. If not for Robert Horry, the Lakers don't get past the Kings, most likely. Robert Horry isn't a bad player. And I'm not saying Manu Ginobili's Robert Horry, but I mean, come on now. I think the media, and I think that's what it is too, is the media did well to prop Manu Ginobili up. And I'm not saying he's a bad player or anything like that. Not even close to saying that. I'm just saying I think that we overrated Manu Ginobili. I really think we did. And me bringing up the media has to do with the fact that the media, to the casual fan and to the fan who basically just gets his or her thoughts from what the media says, will believe it. I mean, if we cross over to the NFL, Terrell Owens is one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. But the media, and I guess T.O. a bit himself, for being a little bit real here, portrayed T.O. as a diva and an unlikable player. I don't think Terrell Owens was really that unlikable. I just think he was really just passionate. They've done it with Randy Moss before. It seems like they might be starting to... No, I'm not going to get into that, but either way, I think the media propped up Manu Ginobili a bit because he played on a very likable team. The Spurs, obviously. Pop. Everyone loves Greg Popovich. One of the best head coaches of all time. Might be the greatest NBA coach of all time. Tim Duncan, I mean, there's no other way to go about it. Seemed like one of the nicest people ever. I mean, basically the prototypical, like the prototype you want for your NBA players. Not quiet, show up to work, one of the best, win titles. Don't get into trouble. And you got Tony Parker there, who was a great point guard for that team, also a future Hall of Famer, for some reason decided to go to the Hornets, which I'll never understand. Should have just retired. But either way, I think Manu Ginobili was a product of the people surrounding him. Let's take Tim Duncan off of that team. That doesn't make Manu Ginobili any less of a player. Manu Ginobili, I'm sure, is still the same player. But do we think of Manu as a Hall of Famer? Or was Manu just a very good player off the bench? A great player off the bench, I should say. That's my question. Because you take away Tim Duncan, the Spurs don't win those titles. If Manu is a two-time All-Star and a two-time All-NBA player, no titles, I don't think that we prop him up like everyone does now. And I did get into comparison mode. I was looking around. There's a certain player that I guess I could say I'm on a hill and I'm willing to die on this hill defending this player. And I do think this player should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame one day. That player is Stephon Marbury. And this is where it gets a bit tricky here. Stephon Marbury isn't really regarded as a great NBA player or anything like that. So let's do some comparing here. So Manu Ginobili, his career, he played about 16 seasons, somewhere around there. Manu Ginobili finished as a two-time All-Star, a two-time All-NBA player, made the All-Rookie team, and was the sixth man. Obviously, he got some titles too. Stephon Marbury, two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA player, made his 1996-1997 All-Rookie team. No titles, though. I don't blame Stephon Marbury for not winning titles either. But either way, you look at it. Per-game stats. Manu averaged 13.3 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game, nearly 4 assists. Shot 44% from the field, 37% from 3. Marbury scored 19 points a game over his NBA career, nearly 8 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 43% from the field, wasn't a great 3-point shooter, shot 33 there. I'm not trying to say that Stephon Marbury is better. I'm trying to say that they're similar players. And one we talk up as if he's a surefire Hall of Famer, and the other probably won't ever get in. The most points per game Marbury averaged was back in 2000 when he averaged 24 with the Nets. The most Ginobili averaged with the Spurs was 20 in 2007 with the Spurs. In his season, he started 23 games. Okay. And again, I'm not trying to say that Stephon Marbury is a better player than Manu Ginobili. I'm just trying to say that they're identical. And you can do what you want with that information, whether you want to think of Stephon Marbury as a better player or Manu Ginobili as a lesser. Looking at their playoff per game stats, obviously Manu made the playoffs a whole lot more. Had the benefit of playing with a better team. That's just a fact right there. The most Manu averaged in playoffs was 21 with San Antonio the year they won the title in 2004. Also averaged 20.6 in 2010-2011. Let's take a look at Marbury's playoff numbers. So Marbury in the playoffs, his per game stats, made the playoffs in 5 seasons. 4 of those seasons where he was the main guy. One of the main guys. 2008, he made the playoffs with Boston, so I don't really count that one. He averaged 22 points per game in 2002, 21 in 2003, 21 in 96. Didn't play as many playoff games as Manu, but of course, did well when he was asked. His worst one was in 97 with Minnesota, where he averaged nearly 14. I think that Manu's good, but not as good, like I say, as we prop him up to be. I think Manu is a bit overrated, dare I say it. And I think that's fine. Manu Ginobili was a very good player. But beneath the surface, and again, you can't do this or anything like that. Like, you can't take Tim Duncan away. But if not for Tim Duncan, like, let's say Manu Ginobili ends up going to a different team. He's not a Hall of Famer. We'll give him the same ability, all that. He's the same player, whatnot. He's not a Hall of Famer. And I have no problem with him getting into the Hall of Fame because, I mean, you basically put everyone in there. But I think the media did a good job. And the fans did a good job of listening to it and believing it, of Manu being like this out-of-this-world type player. People say he's a top 10 shooting guard all time. Does that really mean much? I mean, the shooting guard position has never really been stacked. Honestly, it hasn't. So I'm not trying to discredit Manu. Actually, I might be, and I'm not doing it knowingly. But I just think the guy was a glorified role player. Honestly. I mean, the guy was never a starter. He's basically Jamal Crawford with four rings. And I'm saying a lot of stuff right here, and I hope I'm making a decent amount of argument. Like, I could be wrong, but I mean, like I said, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. That's fine with me. But like I said, looking at him compared to Stephon Marbury, their numbers are pretty identical. It's just one has titles and one doesn't. One's got titles because he played with Tim Duncan and great teams and a stable organization. The other did it. So take that information with what you will. That's all I got to say about that. Manu was a great player, like I said, did great in his role. Probably one of the best players, foreign-based players ever, coming from Argentina. Might be the, I'll take Tony Parker over Manu. But either way, did well. Great career for him. And it seems he is going to be helping out with the Spurs too during retirement, so that's also good. But like I said, I'm not trying to hit on Manu. I just think we might have overrated him a bit over his career. That's not his problem, given you don't get to pick and choose your teams, but just something to bring up. So that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Celtics, so stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about Manu Ginobili. Now we move on and we talk Boston Celtics. So last year, last offseason, we'll go back to last offseason. It was a wild one for the Celtics. Started off with Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and all those guys going to recruit Gordon Hayward, trying to get him to Boston. They succeeded. It was a bit odd at first, given that Chris Haynes of ESPN reported that Hayward was signing with the Celtics. Then it seemed like it wasn't happening, and it turns out it just Gordon Hayward wanted to announce it himself that he was going to Boston. Jazz fans got really mad at it. Get over it. I mean, honestly, yeah, just get over it. So they get Hayward. It's looking like Boston's going to be heading into the season with Hayward, Isaiah, Crowder, and the rest of that core still there. And then they end up trading Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, the Brooklyn pick, and Ante Zizic over to Cleveland for a certain Kyrie Irving. So then heading into the season, Celtics are with Irving, Hayward, Jaylen Brown in his second year, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, and then a very solid bench. 6 minutes into the season, Gordon Hayward's out for the year. Pretty much breaks his ankle. Looked like it could have just fell off. Like his foot just could have been just pretty much severed from his leg. But he's out for the year. And Kyrie Irving dealt with injuries all season long. So for about a month and a half left in the season, 2 months, Irving's out for the rest of the season. Boston, basically a bunch of young kids and Al Horford trying to navigate their way for the rest of the regular season and into the playoffs. They finish as the second seed. They get Milwaukee in the first round. That series goes 7 games. They win that one. Then they get Philly. This was supposed to be Philly's coming out party in the playoffs. At least that's what I was told. Philly was on a 16-game winning streak, I think, heading into the playoffs. Only lost 1 game in the first round to the Heat. Were the favorites to beat the Celtics in that second round. Everyone was expecting a Sixers-Cavs Eastern Conference Finals. Brad Stevens comes up with the idea that, hey, if we don't guard Ben Simmons, he'll be useless. That was true. You watch Ben Simmons in that series, he was absolutely terrible. TJ McConnell was much better and gave him a better chance to win. So, I mean, Philly just were outcoached, outplayed in that series. They lose in 5 games. And then Boston gets to Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. Boston jumps out to a 2-0 lead. They blow out Cleveland in their first 2 games. Cleveland comes back, wins the next 2. Boston wins game 5. Cleveland wins game 6. Game 7 is up for grabs. Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown forget how to shoot in that one. Jason Tatum played well, I think dropping 24, also dunked on LeBron. But LeBron ended up, of course, taking that game, and Boston loses in 7. So with that recap done, we now move over here. And the question has always been, at least it was for all last year, when's Gordon Hayward going to be back? And then it became, when is Kyrie Irving going to be back? Danny just came out and said a few days ago that both will be a full go for training camp. That is obviously good news for the team. And now we move on into this season thinking, what can they do with those two guys added? Like I said, last year was supposed to be a year where Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving were going to lead the team. Didn't work out that way. Both dealt with injuries. So now we got this year. I've seen the idea of with Kyrie Irving and Hayward coming in, it's going to cause some problems, meaning players are going to lose touches, they're going to lose shots and all that. I don't see a problem happening in Boston. It seems that every player coming into the Celtics knows that there's a system in place and that you got to buy into the system. Brad Stevens has done well since he became the coach of this team to consistently improve this team and to make them much better. And I feel that Brad Stevens is going to figure out a way to make sure everyone on that team is at least happy with the role that they got. Kyrie Irving is obviously going to be the first option on that team as far as scoring. It's just a matter of who's the second option. Is that Gordon Hayward or is that Jason Tatum? Jason Tatum last season, I mean, pretty much showed us that he's going to become a future superstar. And a whole bunch of other rookies did that too. I mean, Ben Simmons, Tatum, Donovan Mitchell. I mean, those were probably the 3 best rookies all season long. I like Baby Dirk out there in Chicago too, talking about Lauri Markkanen. He didn't really get too much attention, but that's definitely someone everyone should pay attention to also. But like I said, I mean, Jason Tatum basically led the Celtics throughout the playoffs, got him to this Game 7, played well in that Game 7, and now heading into this season, is it him or is it Gordon Hayward who's going to be that second option? And I'm not sure who you make it, honestly. I've been seeing people say Jason Tatum's better than Gordon Hayward. I'm not so sure about that. I think everyone's kind of just forgotten how good Gordon Hayward was just due to the fact that he missed the entire last season and Jason Tatum basically broke out and looked like a superstar. But I think Gordon Hayward's going to have a big role on this team. And I think that, like I said, I think Brad Stevens is going to find a way to make sure everyone's happy with the production that they're getting. If there was a player that I was maybe worried about, it's Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's got to be the 4th or 5th option on that offense. Because, I mean, there's no way he's getting in ahead of Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, or Jason Tatum. And heading into the season, as far as where they stack up, I'd say that amongst the teams in the East, that it's either them or Toronto as the best teams in the East. I like Philly. I think Embiid's going to be improved. I mean, he's already a top five center. Ben Simmons, I'm not sure how much he can improve. Meaning, I mean, he's already a great passer. He's a great rebounder. He's great at running the offense. He's great at running the point guard position. He's a good defender. The guy has no jump shot, though, and I'm not going to let one Twitter video of him basically hitting turnaround jumpers in the corner with no one on him cloud my judgment. Because of the fact that, I mean, that's just it right there. The guy has no one guarding him. I'm not going to get excited over Ben Simmons hitting jump shots in a practice gym when there's no one guarding him and there's no pressure on him. I mean, a lot of these NBA players, centers and all, can hit probably 20 shots in a row in a gym. But when it comes to playing 5-on-5 professional NBA basketball where you got a guy in your face and teams are trying to game plan against you, it's not going to work out. So I know Sixers fans probably got all excited. Oh, look at Ben Simmons working on his jumper. It's not going to be great. He's still going to be a terrible shooter, and he probably still won't take a three this season. So I just think that Philly's going to get better, but not much better. And then they're yelling at me, oh, what about Markelle Fultz? I mean, this is the guy who got the yips, forgot how to shoot a basketball, and spent the entire year basically not playing. Markelle Fultz, I have no clue about. Could end up being the number one draft pick that we all thought he was going to be. Or he could just end up being a bust. But I mean, you're looking at it, I don't think Philly really did too much to get better. I mean, there was a lot of talk about them bringing in a big name, free agent, star player. That didn't happen. At all. You missed out on LeBron. You didn't trade for Kawhi. You didn't get any big name players. And it seemed like, if I'm not mistaken, that was a goal of theirs this offseason. And let's not forget the whole Brian Colangelo thing. So this offseason was one where it wasn't really great for the Sixers. So that's why I think it's going to be between Boston and Toronto. I think Toronto got much better with Kawhi Leonard adding him and getting rid of DeMar DeRozan. You finally got someone who can perform in the playoffs. And I mean, let's not forget, this Raptors team was the number one seed in the East last season, and they got better. Boston obviously got better also now that they're adding Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward back into the fold. Now, do I think the Celtics have any chance against Golden State? Sure, they have a chance. I think Boston and Danny Ainge have tried to mold this Celtics team to be the Warriors of the East. And I'm not saying they're as good as the Warriors of the East. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying the way, like the personnel that they bring in, the way that they, the rotations and all that, positionless basketball, I just think that the way they run their team, they're trying to be like the Warriors. And I think that's too why we've seen the Celtics do so well against the Warriors in the regular season matchups that they play. The Celtics match up well. I mean, they're basically identical teams. It's just one team has two top five players and two other top 20 players. And again, I need to reiterate this because people will love to jump to conclusions. I am not saying the Celtics are the same team as the Warriors or as good. I'm just saying that they are similar in the way that they bring on players and the way that they use those players. Now, if these teams met in the finals, I'd say it'd probably be Warriors in six, maybe seven. Let's not act like the Celtics team is that inferior to the Warriors. Like, yes, the Warriors are still a better team. But I'd say that if there was any team to knock off the Warriors in a playoff series, it'd be the Celtics. I don't like the way the Lakers match up with them. I think Houston already had their chance. That's over and done with. Oklahoma City, I mean, come on now. The Jazz just aren't ready yet. And I'd say out east, Toronto could give them a run for their money. Kyle Lowry would need to play well in the playoffs. I think we could all count on Kawhi. Plus, we got to see how this coach runs his team. But yeah, I do think that the Celtics, as of right now, pose the biggest threat to the Warriors, but it's not that big of a threat. The Warriors are still, without a doubt, the favorites to win the title. So it's going to be interesting to see again. I mean, Brad Stevens got to deal with a lot of egos there. Not egos in a bad way, but just a point where all these guys probably think they're very good at what they do, and they want to be treated like that when it comes to the offense. So it'll be interesting. I mean, the Celtics, for the most part, last season were the number one seed with Kyrie Irving. Then he gets hurt, and Toronto did well to take advantage of that. So it's going to be interesting this season, but I don't necessarily think the Celtics are going to have too many problems as far as sharing the ball and making sure everyone gets their shots up. So we'll see how it all ends up. But either way, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here for right now. Next up, we will be talking about the Knicks fan who sold off his fandom of the Knicks. Well, former Knicks fan now, and now a Lakers fan. So we'll be talking about that. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. So, I think we're in this new generation of sports fandom where fans aren't necessarily fans of teams anymore, they're fans of players. We could blame LeBron for that. And I'm not too fond of the, I'm a fan of the player, not the team. Just mainly because you'll see, like, if you're a fan of the player, then don't cheer for the team when they win. Like, I get if you're a fan of just LeBron, then cheer for LeBron when he has a good game. But don't cheer for the team as if you're a fan of them too. And I might just be the angry old man yelling at the kids to get off my lawn, but it is something that is kind of annoying to me. And it is a lot of like 12-year-olds and stuff like that that are doing that. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm not too fond of the, I'm a fan of the player and not the team. Fan. It's not, like, I don't get it. Because, I mean, my favorite player left my team, favorite team. I didn't go and follow my favorite player. I was like, oh, yeah, well, that sucks, but I'm still a fan of this team. I'm not going anywhere. So, yeah, there's no real loyalty amongst fans anymore. And then fans, like, it's hilarious. They'll try and say, oh, well, there's no loyalty amongst teams and the players. Yeah, who cares? You're not a player. They're not that, like, that has nothing to do with you. I don't know. But either way, a New York Knicks former fan auctioned off his fanhood and someone bought it. Someone gave this man money to cheer for a different team. And this went on eBay. And I guess the fan's name is Evan Perlmutter. He's 33 years old. And someone really gave him money to be a fan of the Lakers. Let me see if I could find. Oh, it was James Riedel. I'm assuming that's how his last name is pronounced. He's the one who bid on it. And I guess this guy's a YouTuber. I'm looking at an ESPN article right now. And he says it would be good for, they could provide good content for his YouTube channel. So forget that guy for a second. Let's talk about the fan who auctioned off his fanhood. Is he in the right here? Yes. And me, I'm the type of guy who, if my team stinks, my team stinks. I'm not going to go jumping anywhere else. But I'm not a New York Knicks fan. That's completely different. The Knicks have consistently, year after year, made puzzling decision after puzzling decision, and they've made wrong decision after wrong decision, and they've gave false hope when there was no hope at all. I mean, this team hasn't won a championship since 1975. I feel like they really hold on to those 1990 years with John Starks and Patrick Ewing. But, I mean, if we want to be real here, those years were years where you basically got to play Michael Jordan and lose. And even when Michael Jordan left for 2 years to go do something else, you still couldn't get past Houston. And since then, I mean, you had Latrell Sprewell. You had Starbury for a bit. Then you got Carmelo Anthony. Looked like maybe this was it. That never worked out. And since then, I mean, it's just, it hasn't been great.
So I do understand why this fan put his fanhood up for sale. And, I mean, he is upgrading going from the Knicks to the Lakers. Lakers are going to be real good this season. Like, they're not going to be on the Warriors level or anything like that, but at least Lakers fans are going to be able to see their team again back in the playoffs. And it's good for basketball when the Lakers are better, too. Like, I'm not too fond of the Lakers as a fan or anything like that, but I do know when the Lakers are good, it is better for basketball. And I'm kind of hoping, holding out hope, that we get a Lakers-Celtics NBA Finals. Sorry, Warriors fans. I mean, you've seen your team go 4 years in a row, but I feel Lakers-Celtics would be huge for ratings, given it's the historic rivalry, and there's the rivalry within the rivalry between LeBron and Kyrie Irving. And I'm not so sure that those guys, like, personally have a rivalry. I'm sure that they're, like, friends and all that. But, of course, the media is going to continue to drive up the Kyrie versus LeBron talk and all that, just like they did with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And it's year three, and I feel like we still haven't gotten away from that, which is ridiculous. But, I mean, the media loves to overuse something to the point where it gets unbearable. And I just think with the Lakers and Celtics playing each other in the finals, that'd be perfect. I mean, both teams started their rebuild at the same time. Celtics kind of got ahead due to Billy King giving them all the first-round picks in the world. But I think they're at a point now where it'd be tough, and it's highly unlikely, but there is a chance where they could meet up in the finals. If somehow, some way, like if Brandon Ingram were to turn into a superstar this season, and I think that's what it's going to take for them to be able to compete with the Warriors. And when I say compete, I'm not necessarily saying like win, like they'd have a chance to win. Like as of right now, I'd give this Lakers team about a 10% chance to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series if both teams are healthy. But if Brandon Ingram were to basically turn into a mini KD and have his little breakout superstar year this year, they would have a chance. It'd be tough, but definitely would have a chance. Lonzo Ball can't shoot the ball to save his life. And I've seen like the workout videos and all that. I don't really get too excited over those because every other player in the NBA is working out. And you don't necessarily see them getting like improving. So I'm going to wait. And like I give Lonzo about 4 years till his jump shot is actually decent, I'd say, where he's hitting on a good percentage. But I mean, yeah, you got Ingram. If he starts playing well, you got LeBron there already. Kuzma's a guy who could give you 20 off the bench. Lonzo's a very good point guard. Top 15 already, I'd say. Plays well this year, could end up being top 10. And then you got the Island of Misfit Toys with JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, and Michael Beasley. Guys who, I mean, basically couldn't fit wherever they were. I mean, Rondo's been on, what, 4 different teams the last 4 years, it seems? JaVale McGee's kind of hopped around team to team after he left the Wizards. Lance Stephenson's played for a few different teams over the years. Michael Beasley was in China like just last year. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But, I mean, getting back to that Knicks fan who sold his fandom. I don't know. Like I said, we're in a whole, like, fans are completely different than how they were 5 years ago, I'd say. And I think it's like a social media type of thing, too. I mean, I remember growing up, a Miami Dolphins fan in the NFL. They stunk when I was a little kid. They still do. But I remember going to school not even telling people I was a Dolphins fan. I maybe could have sold my fanhood at that time. But I didn't. And, I mean, the Knicks, looking at them as in, like, NBA topics. You got Porzingis. I like Kevin Knox. What they got to do next offseason is somehow get Kyrie and Jimmy Butler there. They do that, the Knicks will actually be relevant for a reason and not just propped up because of the New York media. Because it pains me how the Knicks are talked about as if they're this historic franchise like the Lakers and Celtics when they're not. Knicks fans might disagree, but I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less. The Knicks only have one title in 1975. Since then, haven't done anything. I'm not sure why they're regarded as amongst being one of the best franchises in the NBA. Like, I don't see them being a better franchise than the Bulls, the Spurs, or even the 76ers for that matter. But, I mean, we'll see. Maybe this fan ends up coming back. And like I said, it's just ridiculous how someone actually paid for that guy to become a fan of a different team. Like, I get it, you're doing it for your YouTube channel and all that, but it's a bit odd. And, like, the guy, like, you're really getting $3,000, like, basically $3,500 to root for the Lakers. I mean, I guess that's the way things are now. But, I mean, as far as the Knicks this season, I think they're going to be really bad. Not, like, I mean, why wouldn't they? Porzingis, I don't really see him playing at all this season. I figure by the time he's ready to go, Knicks are already going to be pretty much playing for a lottery spot. So there's no point in bringing him back. And, I mean, that could benefit the Knicks. Because let's say they get a high lottery pick. You sign Kyrie, you sign Jimmy Butler. You could have a very good team. Like, the Knicks could very well be a playoff team in 2020. Or 2019, excuse me. Once that season starts. So the Knicks might be onto something, but it's a bit of a long-term type of thing. So we'll see what ends up happening, but that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we will be talking about any other basketball topics that come to mind or any other news that's going on right now. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
And welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. So far today, we've talked Manu Ginobili. Might be a bit overrated. I'm just going to say, Manu Ginobili's overrated. I think he's a good player, but he's overrated. There, I said it. Go ahead and yell at me. Second segment, we talked about the Celtics. Third segment, we talked about the Knicks fan selling his fanhood. And now we talk about anything else going on in the world of basketball. So, the NBA and the NBA, NCAA, and the Players Association have aligned. And basically, the NCAA, NBA, National Basketball Players Association, basically said that they're extending their support of USA Basketball and all that. Basically, all this means is that they're trying to get rid of the one-and-done rule. And I think it's about time. I don't really understand the one-and-done rule. Like, that doesn't really make sense to me. Maybe, because I know you got to be out of high school for a year in order to enter the NBA draft. So maybe that's what it was. But I mean, I think we're at a point now where we got to start letting these high school kids enter the draft. And I mean, we're starting to see it a little bit more. There was another top recruit who was supposed to be going to Syracuse. And he chose not to go to the G League, not to go to Syracuse, and basically just work this entire year to prepare for the NBA draft and the NBA. I have no problem with that. I mean, the NCAA, like, college sports is an absolute scam. It is. At least that's my opinion. I mean, it's ridiculous how these players can't have agents, can't get endorsements. I mean, literally just a few years ago, we had to have Shabazz Napier on national television say, hey, NCAA, maybe do you think we could get 3 mils so we don't got to go to sleep hungry? I mean, I don't understand it. Like, the NCAA is one of the most... The NCAA is a problem. I'll just say that. They are a big problem. I honestly think, just my opinion, that the NCAA just doesn't want these kids to make money. Both college football and college basketball. I mean, what kind of sham is amateurism? What even is that? I don't get it at all. Like, I could get sponsored. Someone could sponsor whatnot. someone could offer me money to write for them or anything like that. I'm still in college. I can make money. Why can't they? I don't understand why the NCAA is so against these players making money. And the only logical answer is they don't want them to. They don't want them to make money. And I don't necessarily think that these college players making money would affect the NCAA, would they mean, meaning it wouldn't hurt their pockets. Don't worry, you guys would still get your millions on top of millions. Undeservedly so. I mean, I honestly don't get it. And I think now this is why we're moving towards the end of the one and done rule and all that. But like I said, I've never really understood why the NCAA was so against players making money. And then people say, oh, well, they're getting a free education. They're not going to Duke. They're not going to Kentucky to go to school. The only reason why they're brought there is to play basketball. I remember that Cardale Jones tweet. And let me see if I could figure, if I could pull it back up. Might take a few, but I mean, he was right. At the time, it came off as a bad tweet, but he was right. He had the right idea. For those that say, oh, well, Cardale Jones is wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's ignorant. The guy graduated from Ohio State, so don't worry about it. So Cardale Jones tweeted out October 5th of 2012, why should we have to go to class if we came here to play football? We ain't come to play school. Classes are pointless. And Cardale Jones is 100% right. 100% right. I mean, look at North Carolina. They came up with fake classes and all that just to make their players eligible. Roy Williams, Krzyzewski, Calipari don't care how these kids are doing in school. They don't. They may say they do because that's the good media darling answer, but they don't. They just want to make sure these players develop and are able to help them win a national championship. Miss me with this whole, oh, they get a free education. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then you got the fans, oh, if I was in their position, I would be grateful. You're not in their position, so it doesn't matter what you would think about it. Literally, it doesn't. The opinion is meaningless. The only opinions that really matter in this situation are the players, for being real here, and the players that are, or the people that are surrounding that little situation that they're in. Us fans, opinion does not matter about them getting free education or whatnot. It doesn't. So, just completely stop with that, please. I'm all for the top players of high school not going to the NCAA. And going to the NBA. I have a huge problem with the NCAA. They don't have a problem with me because they don't know who I am. That's fine. But I think we can all know that change has been needed, and I think we're finally getting that change. So I hope we see more and more players either going to the G League or taking a year off to get ready for the draft, or eventually we see the NBA allow players straight out of high school to come into the league. But either way, it's about time. We finally had some change here. So there's that. Anything else currently going on in the league? I mean, it's an end of an era over in San Antonio. Duncan's gone, Parker's gone, Ginobili's gone. We've talked about it before. But I'm curious to see what this new era of the Spurs looks like. I mean, do we see them as a playoff team this year? Not as like a top four seed or anything like that, but at least just making the playoffs like as an eighth seed. Is that a possibility? I mean, they still got a solid squad. Last year, they made the playoffs without Kawhi, so I'm not really worried about him being on the Raptors now. I mean, basically, it was addition by subtraction. No, that's not the right term. Either way, they made the playoffs last year without Kawhi, and they added DeMar DeRozan to this Kawhi-less team that they had last year. I think that's an improvement. I don't think that they're really losing anything with Manu Ginobili retiring, not because I think he's overrated, but because of the fact that he was old already. Tony Parker being gone, I don't see that as a problem too. Tony Parker was already done. I mean, he's going to go to Charlotte and average about 7 points a game. So, I think this team actually did get better. But so did the rest of the West. The Lakers got better. The Timberwolves are going to be better now that they'll have Jimmy Butler back. I mean, the Timberwolves last season were going to be a top three seed if Jimmy Butler didn't get hurt. So, it is going to be interesting. But I do think that these Spurs, they will be competing for that eighth spot or seventh spot. And I mean, you're looking at the West right now. The Nuggets are a team who missed out on the playoffs last year that are going to be trying to get in. I mean, actually, let's look at the teams who can make the playoffs this season. Teams who I think will be contending. Golden State. the Lakers, Houston, Dallas, New Orleans, San Antonio, Denver, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Portland, and Utah. It's about 11 teams right there in the West who are going to be competing for 8 spots. Last year we saw Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, New Orleans, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Portland, and Utah make it. I don't think we'll be returning the same 8 teams. I think, obviously, the Lakers are going to be getting in. So, obviously, there's one out there. I'm thinking Portland maybe is the team that falls out of the top 8 and misses out in the playoffs this year. Them or New Orleans, I think, are teams I'm for sure. Like, either one of them is going to miss out in the playoffs this year, I'd say. And I'd say Dallas is a team that everyone's kind of sleeping on right now, but they got a solid squad. Dennis Smith Jr. looked good last season as a rookie. Luka Doncic, I think, should be a decent player. Then you got Harrison Barnes, who's averaging near 20 points, 8 rebounds a game last season. It was like 18 and like 7, I think. So I might have over-exaggerated that a bit. Dirk's still there. And then you got DeAndre Jordan. Like, they have a solid team. So it'll be interesting to see how the West shakes up. But either way, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here for today. Today we talked Manu Ginobili. We talked Celtics, Knicks fans. And then for this last segment, talked about a couple of other different topics. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back next Wednesday, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.